Regarding the second part, he says, Alhamdulillah, obviously to Allah, the one who told the bin, and he told the man what he, what the man did not know, and peace and blessings, perfect peace and blessings be upon the great and noble prophet who was sent to all the nations, who was sent to the all nations, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Afterwards, all slaves of Allah, I advise you as well as myself with the taqwa of Allah ta'ala, as it is the head of every success on the base and principle of every success as well. And from taqwa is to know what Allah ta'ala meant obligate to Abu Nuh. And in the speech about the mistakes of people in regards to the Adhan al-Qamah, he would like to clarify that there is no Adhan al-Qamah for women. And the Adhan al-Qamah and the Adhan is Fardu Kifaya for the community. It is Fardu Kifaya, meaning if one raises the Adhan, then it is Yani Fardu Kifaya. Not everyone comes to the Masjid called the Adhan. It's only once. But it is Fardu Kifaya for every Muslim. We cannot make it in one masjid for the whole city. As some suggested, as I hear, that some suggested somewhere in the West to just yani, call the Adhan in one mosque and then through the yani, media to be translated in all the mosques of the city. Which is of course wrong. You tired of it? Did it? Huh? No, 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 in the rest of you. Huh? They are doing it? They suggested. That, yeah, I didn't think I wasn't there. I didn't know. I didn't think I was tired. What is the thing? This is not considered as the Jama'ah. As the other mosque called the Adhan, and then to internet or whatsoever mean we have the same Adhan here, then this mosque is far would not be considered until they call the Adhan themselves. Now, now, and as you said that it is for every masjid, which can, yani, if they pray, the regular prayers, yani Christian, but if it is only out, and you can use Adhan, you need to call the Adhan, you call it bitter, of course. Because you are not praying with them. Now. And the other, from the sunnah is the Adhan to be raised outside the masjid. Not necessarily to be the Mu'adhan outside, but it must be declared for the outsiders. Yeah, the speaker must be outside. Because the Adhan is for informing people of the time of the prayer. That this is now the time for this prayer. While the Iqama to be only inside the masjid. To be only inside the masjid. That is a sunnah. Because the Iqama is only to inform the people that we are going to begin now the Salah. And this is only for those who came to the masjid. But those who are still lying on their bed, the Iqama is not concerning them, and that it's not that thing that they come. As in the mistakes that some or maybe most of the Mu'adhineen do today is that they don't call the Adhan if there is no salah before. As they are not saying, they don't call the Adhan. These are some of the things that I found strange these days.
يعني I is one مؤذن. He is given something. He is hired to call the adhan. Somehow he had an agreement with the employer that he calls the adhan for two times prayers. And the third time prayer, one day the mu'adhin was supposed to call the adhan, did not come. They told him to call the adhan, he was in the mosque. He said, no, I hired only for two adhan, two salah. SubhanAllah. Like this man should be kicked away right away out of the mosque. This cannot be the mu'adhin of the mosque. Because he's only there for money. He's taking it as a business. As business, you know? So, as in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Uthman ibn Abi al-As said, radiallahu anhu, said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, ij'alni imam qawmi, assign me to be the imam of my people. He said, yes, anta imama. He said, anta imama. Waqtadi bi ab'athi. You are the imam of your people, but always consider the weakest one of your people. Do not make it long. For that, then you have, then you always consider the weakest one. If you have some strong, some weak, some very weak, then you go with the very weak. How, yani, long you can stay in prayer. And then he said, وَاتَّخِذْ مُؤَذِّنًا لَا يَأْخُذُ عَلَى أَذَانِ أَجْرًا. And take a mu'adhin, assign a mu'adhin that does not take money for your adhan. Look to that, subhanAllah. And this was reported by Abu Dawud, and Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and authenticated in all by Al-Bani, rahimahullah ta'ala. And from the mistakes, is what some people do, from adding some statements to what then authentically transmitted in the Sunnah. As some say, Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah. As the Prophet do. Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah. This is of course wrong. Is it only Ali waliyullah? There are many. Jibreel is waliyullah. So we're going to name them all. And we cannot add nothing. It has to go as it came. That's it. And some are like the Zaydiya in Yemen, Hayya ala khayr al-amal. After they say Hayya ala salah, Hayya al-bala, they say Hayya ala khayr al-amal. Which is of course wrong. And from the mistakes that people also do, and these are to be adhan, is that some of them may recite Quran or say some dhikr, some remembrance before the adhan, during the adhan, or even after the adhan. These all are wrong except for what comes after the adhan from what is authentically documented. Such as saying, as the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَالَ عَلَى يَسْمَعُ الْمُؤَدِّنَ Whoever says when he hears the مُؤَدِّن أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. As whoever hears the مُؤَدِّن, and when the مُؤَدِّن finishes the adhan, you say أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رضيت بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالاسلام دينا. Except that all of his sins will be forgiven. As in the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, reported by Al-Khuzaymi in Sahih. And from the mistakes that people do also, and also of course from the dhikr to be said after the adhan, or during the adhan, when the mu'adhin say, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, you say, instead of repeating these two statements, you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And also,
بعد الأذان يسأل الله مربى للدارة التامة صلاة القائمة آتي محمد الوسيلة الفضيلة والدارة الآية الرفيعة وآتي الله مقام حضر ذي عدة. This proved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he said, after Sirah Nur al-Fadila for me, after the Adhan, I'd be the Shafi'ah for him on the Prophet. And from the mistakes of some people, when the Muaddin raised the Iqamah, when he said Iqamah to Salah, some say, Aqamah Allah wa Adamaha. And this is of course wrong. This is of course wrong. There is nothing to be said during the Iqamah. You can't repeat the Iqamah as you repeated the Adhan, because the Adhan and Iqamah are called Adhan. Both of them called Adhan. Both of them are called Adhan. Adhan Awwal, Adhan Thani. And it is also called Adhan and Iqamah. Both are called the same. And that's why some of the ulama are different opinions in regards to the Fajr Adhan, in which Adhan, the first and the second, the extra statement to be said. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Some of the ulama say in the first Adhan. Some say in the Adhan of the prayer, which is considered to be the second Adhan. Who said in the Adhan of Bilal, they said because it is said the first Adhan, and that is the first Adhan. And the Adhan of Ibn Maktoum is the second Adhan. The other said no, first and second is related to the Adhan and Iqamah, which is also called Adhan, both of them called Adhan. Both of them called Adhan. Anyway, this is a long issue, that's why I did not bring it in the khutbah. There is some of the ulama say this, some of the ulama say that, and no matter what, no matter what, all inshallah correct. What I prefer is to be said in the first, meaning the Adhan of Bilal. And we consider the Adhan in Iqamah are Adhan, called Adhan, then we have three Adhan. So to me, it will be the first of the three. Some of very highly respected ulama of the Sunnah, they say no. And it's the middle one, which is the Adhan of the time of Fajr. Not the Adhan of waking up the people for night prayers or Sahur. But in a very different opinion, yeah. These are the mistakes that what Allah Ta'ala permitted me to bring in this short time, but these are not all. This is not to limit the number of the mistakes that people may do, but it's only presented as an example of the mistakes of the people. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all guidance and success, and after that I ask Allah Ta'ala to send the prayers upon his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi. We have a question or two questions. Is it bid'ah to have a partition between men and women in prayer? Today's khutbah of the Mufti handled this subject. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no partition, but there was a prophet. Today we don't have a prophet, we need a partition. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he finished the prayer, he does not turn to face the people immediately. He gives them time for the woman to go fast, quick, out of the masjid. First.
Second, he told the companions, no one to turn, no one to leave until the ladies go. Today this doesn't happen. And if we bring the ladies now here, it's going to be a kind of mess. So, it is of course from the sunnah, which is the obligatory sunnah, to have a partition between men and women. Because Allah Ta'ala in the Quran said to the mothers of the believers, and we got to the mothers of the believers, they said to Muhunna, مَتَاهَمْ فَسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. So from behind a barrier, and you are asking your mother, the mother of the believers, so what about today? What about today? يعني, and this is a subject that the ulama have seen long ago, no one objected that. I don't know why some of the youth, for the number of years that I began giving da'wah, especially in the West, I keep hearing this. But in the book of Sheikh Al-Bani it says that. But it says, subhanAllah. And no problem. And at the same time they struggle for and covering face. And whenever I'm in the West, I took my wife a couple of times. She got shot, she was shot. I gave a lecture, and the lady is just there. And come up, their faces. SubhanAllah. All this is wrong. All this is wrong. So it is better to aside the women from the men. Aside the women from the men. Not to bring them together. Now. Now the hadith does not say as he was reading the member.
It says he was back upon the Mimbar, and he came from the Mimbar, and told him this, and he went back to the Mimbar, and I corrected.
Okay, we'll leave the message. Yes?
So there's no indication that from the relationship that the Khalifa understood that there should be a partition.
As I told you,
when did the actual partition take place? At what time in history was this growth in the government of Islam? Did someone make this travel or decision make more than 16 years?
Correct. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُ. The best people is my generation. And then the one after it, and then the one after it. And of course it means, and then the iman goes and goes and goes. During the time, I have no exact record of when exactly it happened. But what I have is, the ulama of Islam, who are more worried about Islam than me and you, saw this, and they never ever rejected it or objected it. And the only thing that they considered that it is better to be this way is how is what they saw the people, or how they saw the people in their times, and how The people ask in regards to women, and the attraction happening between men and women. So from that point, the ulama of Islam, which we are told to follow them. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. Take my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa. A Rashidin will come after me, will come after me. And those are four. Some say five, including Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. But Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَعِّقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. Whoever opposes the messenger and takes away other than the righteousness way and takes away different from the way of people of righteousness, and this for the time since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khulafa pass away until the day of resurrection, because the time of the Prophet ﷺ and the Khulafa is limited and it is very short in regards to the age of the Ummah, so it cannot be at that time protected and the rest of the time until the day of resurrection not protected. So غير سبيل المؤمنين, all the ulama of Tafsir say this, mu'mineen means the scholars, until the day of resurrection. Until the day of resurrection. Now the scholars of Islam found that the people are very close to the fitna of women. So they say it is better. As when Umar radiallahu anhu increased the punishment of drinking khamr from 40 lashes to 80. Does Umar have a right to legislate? No. But he found that people found it easy now. As when Imam Malik changed the order of kafara of the sexual intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan. Because at that time they used to have a lot of slaves. So everyone enjoys his wife and just leaves the slave. Free slave. Malik radiallahu anhu said, no. He will have to begin the kafara with fast in 2 months. This is the Imam the ayah says, first, Al-Qurqala. He said that was when the people used to have fewer hearts than yours. That was at the time of Malik ibn Anas. So that's why the ulama of Islam found that separating the women from men is the best thing to protect the community from the evil of fitna and, you know, this thing. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. But these are the issues of fiqh. And that's why Rasulullah said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرٌ يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Look, the fiqh is not to memorize the Quran and the Hadith. No. The fiqh is not to memorize the Quran and the Hadith. It's not like that. And that's why people like, for example, Ibn Baz or Albani, they are not memorizing the Hadith. They are memorizing that link to the Hadith. They are not like Bukhari, Muslim, you know. Those ones, you know, they memorize the Hadith in the Sahih. Right? But these people, Allah Ta'ala gave them the fiqh, the understanding. And the fiqh is also in different levels. Some Allah Ta'ala give them much fiqh, some Allah Ta'ala give them small fiqh, some Allah Ta'ala give them fiqh of tafsir, some Allah Ta'ala give them fiqh of hadith, like that. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهِ لَيْسَ لِفَقِهِ وَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهِ لَيْسَ لِفَقِهِ وَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهِ إِلَى مَنْ وَعَفْ طَوْلِهِ. And there might be a person who carries the book, but he's not okay. He memorizes. He's not okay. And some might carry the book to someone who is more, who has more book than him. So, I mean, these are from the issues of fiqh. And these are from the nawaz. So, the ulama of Islam, in all around the Muslim world, found that it is better to put a partition between men and women. Except for some, every issue of fiqh, you will have different opinions. But the importance is what the majority of the scholars of Islam agree about, which is we call it al-jma'. Now, Allah Akbar. Now,
maybe if you call it between the minority community is probably especially for like the federal day. So the community around the day, you know, Muslims, this is their disturbing peace, you know. And
they say that
lawsuits or disagreements against Muslims.
That is another
4:30 in the morning.
And
what
was your... There is something called the fiqh of minorities. So we have to study the fiqh of minorities. And I remember I gave a talk in Brixton Mosque in regards to some issues of the fiqh of minorities. How we can build up our society and non-Muslim countries. First of all, there must be a sacrifice. Now, if you say that the first Muslims, let me just take this call. Now, As-salamu alaykum.
Hey. How are you?
So, as we said, the first Muslims were commanded to migrate. Why? Because they were minorities in Mecca. In Mecca, they did not raise the Adhan. 30 years. And when Abu Bakr used to pray in the yard of his house, it better be in kuffar. So they told him, either he prays inside his house or he leaves Mecca. Okay? So Rasulullah used to tell the Muslims, the few number of Muslims in Mecca, secretly, hidden. Now, in the West, we have a problem today. No sacrifice. This issue, the understanding of sacrifice, is missing. We have to pay some price for our deen. We have to pay some price. We suggested many times that the Muslims should move from where they are in the city to one particular area, which is, for example, the mosque is owned by the Muslim community, like Brixton Mosque. Then they all have to come and little by little, once any apartment yani empty, they can't move. So our community is around the masjid. No one can object us raising the adhan. But the mosque is in Brixton, and you have one living in Croydon, one in East London, and you want to raise the adhan, even if you bring whatsoever speakers, it cannot meet you. And of course, people will not accept that. So, we have to, when Umar ibn Khattab established Basra, there was no Basra at the time of Umar ibn Khattab. In Iraq, there was no city called Basra. It was a desert. He told Sa'd, go to an open place, and through your arrow, and see where it reaches. That point would be the center point of the city. There you build up the mosque and all the houses should surround. So this is the way. But when you talk to A, he says, well, I'm quite comfortable where I am.
all the surroundings are kuffar. All the surroundings, and he's drinking, he's not the only even the place. Even if he is all, he can sell it and buy him in the place where the Muslims are. And when they go all as Muslims together, this will give some strength, you know. But unfortunately, we have no sacrifice. We do not want to sacrifice. That's the problem. Our convenience comes first. Our religion comes second. That's the problem. If we are really, I saw something, for example, maybe in America, UK, yeah, it's a bit difficult. But I say something. In Trinidad, for example, in Trinidad, although they are minority Muslims, but their number is very well seen. And they have very big number of masajid there. Now, the Islamic center is surrounded by kuffar. But with all that, they are raising even the Fajr Adhan outside. Even the Adhan of Fajr. Although, believe it or not, I stayed there 2 weeks beside the masjid, beside the Islamic center, and every Fajr has come to leave the prayer, there is not more than 8 people. Not more than that. Because most of them living far away. The kuffar who are around, they appreciate it calling the adhan, especially Fajr. They said it wakes us up, so we can go out again. But I asked the brothers, why don't you move? This is now all, you know, most of the masajid, not most, some of the masajid there, there are 2 masajid, rented. This is Islamic center owned by the Muslim community, not by the person. But no one comes there. What is the excuse? Oh, the Arikhwani, the I said, you have a good number of Salafis, come. When you all Salafis come to this place, these Ikhwanis will have to change to Salafi, or they're going to leave. I'm not saying that the Ikhwanis are not kuffar. How can you go and mix with the kuffar, but not with the Ikhwanis? Who said this understanding? I'm wondering where is the fiqh? Where is this fiqh come from? I don't know. They prefer to be in the neighborhood of kuffar than to be of Ikhwani. It's not praising Ikhwanis or saying it is something simple, no. But it is not as major as the Kafir. Yani at least we can have our lives moving that furniture, feeling nothing. But when you are alone somewhere, today I saw on BBC, today morning, on BBC News, American was doing the BBC in London. He said that a bus stopped and 3 guys came out and they beat him and hit him over his head, broke his head, and now he speaks very difficultly, he cannot move except to the guy. Well, because the Islam, I've been there, the Islamic mosque, the Islamic center is single there, alone, nothing else near. No Muslims living there. SubhanAllah. So if we come around the masjid is the castle of us. If we come into the castle of us, then no one can come close to us. Except with good. No one can bother or harm any Muslim there. But because we are scattered far away from the masjid, then yes, it's a problem. It's a problem. Hey, another question you've written. Is it necessary to see the row in front of you while praying? In praying the Jama'ah. What do you mean by seeing the row? Of course you are going to see the row, except if you are blind or behind the row. From the ladies? Are they going to see the Imam? The ladies will never see the Imam. except that the Imam is only for them. But yes, we should leave some kind of way for them to see, but not to be seen. And this is found practically, and give them an example. I know many masajid, and the partition, they have a kind of glass that allows them to see the number the men cannot see them. Right? Yeah. And it is only some size that they can just see in the prayer, not the whole partition, the glass, then they can see. They don't need to see the men. They don't need to see the men. Now, and look, there was some understanding. Maybe in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the capability was very small. They were not capable to do everything. Even the masjid was on gravel. It wasn't on rugs or carpet or. Today we have cars. Unless you say that this is bid'ah. And no one of the ulama say it is bid'ah. The carpet itself. Right? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded the ladies, when he said Allahu Akbar from sujood, they should raise their heads before the men. And he commanded the men to lay down. Why? Because, at that time, not all of them used to wear underwear. So their private parts might be seen. So the Prophet ﷺ told the ladies to be fast and raising. And be first when going for rukuh, for sujood. So this is from the book. Why you did all that? For protection. Today, can you guarantee that? You cannot guarantee that. You see women coming to the haram in jeans and, no dress cover and makeup. So the fitna is everywhere. So you have to be reminded. You cannot just leave it like that and even in the masjid. Because you do not have, that's why in the beginning of my answer, I said, they used to have a prophet, we didn't have a prophet. When he used to command them, they were there. And they were the Sahaba. Whatever Rasulullah said, they were there. Today, whatever the alim said, show me one alim that he does not have anyone opposing him. Say no to him. There is no even single alim that the Ummah accepts him as khalas, see? There is no even single alim. And I can't say there is no even single alim respected by the whole Muslims. So, these ones are going to cause problems. That's why the ulama found it better to get rid of all this to do the partition. Now, and I'm wondering, honestly, most of the Christians of this come from men, not women. I don't know why men want women to be in open. I don't know why.
A woman said in the United States, said that my ancestor was we would go this back. We go back and forth. One of the servants said, because his mom, we would not keep that place. So, when you see men saying this question, because a lot of times our wives or our sisters are demanding everything from us, and they put us out of responsibility.
Okay.
Now, personally, I want to, if I tell my wife to do this, if I tell my daughter to do this, if I talk to anybody in my family about this problem, I'm telling you this, I have to understand.
Yeah, of course. Of course. No, but I'm saying not all about this. I'm saying about this and the dress cover. We have a lot of debates. Men arguing about dress cover. No, the woman is not supposed to cover. She's not, it is not obligatory to cover. The men, not the women are arguing. The men are arguing. And that is very, surprising. It surprises me. Because you and I as men, this feeling cannot be known by the woman. Even if she is wild, she cannot know this feeling. We know that the most attractive part of the woman is the face. Is the face. But yet, although it is a matter of different opinions amongst the scholars, whenever there is different opinion of the scholars, now we say, is it a worship that the woman seeks reward from if she uncovers it? Is there any reward given for the woman to uncover her face? Answer. Huh? No. All the ulama say that, or some ulama say no, it is a worship to uncover. All the ulama say it is not a worship to uncover. Okay? No.
The question is not right time,
within the presence of non-mahram men, even in the Umrah, you protect the man from the fitna and the shu, but you afford the fitna for him and the haram. It's a kind of strange thing. Now,
I think it goes back to the question right away, right? You bring these women to the United States, I have a wife and daughter and children. I didn't tell my daughter at 10, 12 years old, she wants to come to school with another. She said, no, this is fine. She comes from being arrested. Allah says in the Quran that you come from what stop to get arrested.
Now that is a different that is a different issue.
Yeah, I'm saying if you're in an environment where coming is gonna cause you a hardship, then this is not gonna my wife. But in an environment where
you're environment. If you say that, how you are going to let your wife or daughter walk in the street. Only with the face uncovered. But the head. And now she's not known as a Muslim?
She's still not a Muslim.
Then.
She's still not a Muslim.
Accusation is there still.
Right. She's still not a Muslim.
The accusation is still there. And there were many maybe to Muslim ladies because of this. They are not. So to get a protection, to get away of this, we say, okay, Muslim lady, just like a Muslim lady, so you cannot be known.
No.
So the recognition is not only by the face cover, by the head cover, by the jilbab. So she's still known as a Muslim. She's still known as a Muslim. Whoever hates them, he knows them, he can reach them. He doesn't get scared of that. He's not going to stop because she's not covering her face. No. So the best thing is to migrate. That's what you are told, because now you are not secure in that place. You cannot worship Allah the way it should be. You cannot migrate because of the situation today. It is impossible for anyone to migrate except original, or people who are originally migrated, or their parents migrated from Muslim countries to the non-Muslim countries. They can migrate back. Yes. But who is originally from that land, he cannot migrate today. I can't say it is impossible to migrate, to do migration. But to travel for work, for some time, yes, you can do that, but it's not migration. At the end of the day, you are carrying the passport of that country, and you are here temporarily with iqama or whatsoever. Anytime they continue, excuse me out. Right? So this is not migration. Okay, now
Back again to my first thing. I said we have to have a sacrifice. We all the Muslim families come to live around the masjid. So everyone respect that area. And yani, they give much respect to that place because they know that this is Muslim. So no one can come there and try to do something wrong. But when you allow living in the corner of the city, of course, yeah. Allah. Anything else?
No. Yeah.
This is the Adhan of, this is called the way of Abu Mahdura, the companion. I will not get to the details of the statements of Adhan because it's going to be said. It is. No. It is connected to Adhan.
Okay.
In the Sunnah, there are two ways of Adhan: Bilal and Abu Mahdura. Both companions. No. The way of how to declare the adhan. The statements of adhan. The numbers. Bilal used to call the adhan 4 times Allahu Akbar, 2 times Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, 2 times Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, 2 times Hayya ala Salah, 2 times Hayya ala Falah, 1 time La ilaha illallah, 1 time Allahu Akbar, 1 time La ilaha illallah. Go to the heart of this. 2 times Allahu Akbar, 1 time Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, 1 time Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, 1 time Hayya ala Salah, 1 time Hayya ala Falah, 1 time Iqamat as-Salah, of course, and then 1 time, 2 times Iqamat as-Salah, and then 1 time Allahu Akbar, 2 times Allahu Akbar, and then 1 time La ilaha illallah. This is the way of Bilal. Abu Mahdura used to call the Iqama exactly the same way of Adhan, except that he asked for Qamat as-Salah 2 times. Exactly the same number of Adhan. So both are correct, both are sahih. Both ways. What is not sahih from what has been added is Hayya ala al-Khayr al-Amal, as in Yemen. Or Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah, as in the Rafida, the other Shia.
Next,
but you can have
the brother in Japan. I've seen here in
the Saudi Arabia that the same person called the Adhan, same
person called the Summit of the Quran. Call what? I've seen the same person.
Called
the Adhan? Called
the
Summit? No. I don't see any evidence that the Jesus is a
and the problem is not to come to the Medina, and the problem is to do it. What do you call the name of the Medina? Allah, we always make a separation. Sorry. You don't see that. I just see commonality. No, but if you come to my masjid regularly, you will see that, because I never call that.
Okay.
I wish to call that, but I never call that. Now, this happens where every masjid in Saudi Arabia has a mu'addin and an imam. Okay? The problem is some of the imams, I don't know what to say, but they don't hear Allah. They don't attend regularly. So they leave it for the mu'addin. The mu'addin calls the adhan, the iqama, and he leaves the prayer. Yeah, but this would not invalidate the Adhan nor the Salah. The Adhan and the Salah is correct. However, they have done something not from the Sunnah. It can happen once in a while because the Imam was sick. Yeah, understandable, but to be something like that common, even the ulama spoke about this. Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Tamim, the Mufti, they all spoke about this.
But unfortunately, people are looking for these musicians for money. That's it. That's the problem. Yeah, we pray behind, but they are sinners. Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Yeah, the salah is correct, alhamdulillah. But that imam is in sin. Because he is not giving the amanah that Allah Ta'ala brought on him as an imam. SubhanAllah, they consider that khalas, I have the right to do whatever I want. They consider that the imam is supervised. That's the problem. And someone told me that. Someone said, I'm a supervisor. One muaddin said, no, I've been hired to call only two adhans. And the other said, I'm a supervisor. SubhanAllah. Right. Is that all? أنا أريد أوكي أعطيك بس أنا أتنبه بس تدري because I have something to do just I got a call تفضل Maybe a bit thinking out and outside of the mercy. I think we have spoken about this. We covered this. Okay. Now you did hear, spoke loudly, but as I said, you were thinking outside somewhere. I said, it's very easy, yeah. I said that this happened because the way it was described by the Sahaba. The first Adhan, and the Iqam is also called Adhan. As the Prophet ﷺ said, بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانَيْنِ صَلَاةٌ. And between every two adhan, there is salah. And of course, it does not mean the salah which is the first. So we say the adhan of dhuhr and the adhan of asr, there is salah. Yeah, of course, logically, everyone knows that there is salah. But the Prophet ﷺ here means by understanding of all the sahaba and the ulama, that between the every two adhan means the adhan and iqama. So they called adhan iqama adhan also. Where the confusion came from is that it was said that this statement was added to the first adhan. Now, who calls the iqama only iqama, they say, okay, you have two adhan. First adhan, that is mutahajjud. So, and the other is second adhan. So it is the first adhan, it must be here. And I cannot say it's wrong. And I say that I'm of this opinion. They are one for target. But the other ulama, the other people who say, no, first adhan means the first adhan of the two of the four, which is the adhan of the qama. So the adhan and iqama. No, not bid'ah. No one says it is bid'ah. No single one says that it is bid'ah. But they say this adhan is an adhan that nothing is to be abrogated for. Yani, if the hajj is abrogated, no, it's not abrogated. It's the order of the day, and it's not under that. Right? So they say that, and the Prophet and the companions say it is in the first adhan, so it is the first of the Zakir adhan, which is the middle one, before the Iqama. Yeah, I mean, logic, but I myself find that the saying, the first thing, first opinion is more sure. The first adhan means the adhan of tahajjud. there is no other state from the park. The other, there is other statements for calling. Like the Eclipse Salah, you will call by saying As-Salatu Jamia. Yes, some of the messages are very Bahiriya, more Bahiriya than Dawud al-Bahir. They know that they are not going to extend it to no one. What is the reason Bilal used to climb the Tabroof? It is to loudly call the Adhan so the people, the Muslims around him, hear that it is the time for Salah. But in London, he goes out of the balcony and call. And Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Even the next room does not hear it. So it's the benefit of it. Now, it's not like that. The understanding of Adhan outside is to extend it to all the surroundings. Yeah. People who can't come to pray. Yes. In Jeddah, I have. What's this? Ministry Jamaat. Modest Ministry Jamaat. And many choose to pay those there instead of the masjid. Then they get the same reward. The prayer is correct, the prayer is acceptable, but the reward is not. Not different. As the Prophet ﷺ said, question, I read it. I have noticed many street Jama'at, and many choose to pray there instead of the masjid. Do they give the same reward as in Jama'at in the masjid? No. The Prophet ﷺ said that it is lesser with 25 daraja. Now, daraja does not mean hasana. Allah knows this. What it means, yani in the position, it means level. So it is lesser. Yani than lesser in the world than the salah in the masjid. Now, as Isa Salam said, صلاته رجل المسجد خير من صلاته في بيته وسوقه أو تفضل صلاته في تفضل صلاته في بيته وسوقه. So he mentions a mark there in the mark.
You
mentioned
that from the huge advantage of the people.
No.
Sometimes
I'm in the street,
and I'm hearing four or five of that.
Choose one. I'm trying to do that. Whatever comes to your ear, the statement, just repeat it. Inshallah, Allah, we are. Especially in Jeddah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And when you go to the city center of Jeddah, the masjid are very close.
Right.
And that's why you say, the sunnah is to call the Iqamah inside the masjid, and the recitation should be inside the masjid. And I remember this, in some masjid in the downtown city center, we make a call with one imam and next we do with the other imam. Because they all insist, yani some of them is, I tell you, there are maybe 1/10 size of this masjid. 1/10. Very small. They still have very, very big speakers and horns outside the masjid. So you can hear from all around the area, thinking this is a big mosque. And then you find it's a small room in a building. But the recitation and takbir is inside every other masjid. All right. Well, this is what I said in the khutbah. The mu'addinin today do not care about the sunset, the time. And that's why it's a real problem. No, and the iftar is not related to the iftar is not related to the adhan. Yes, the breakfast, the iftar is not related to the adhan. It's related to the sunset. Now, unfortunately, none of the mu'addin, as I know, watch the sunset. So it's a problem. It's a problem. You have to examine one of the mu'addin around you. Meaning, how you examine him? You need to see, you need to go to the beach side and see the sunset, what time, today for example. Tomorrow you go and pray, that must be wait for him to call the adhan of Maghrib. If you see him make the adhan, and if that will, alhamdulillah, this one, you better choose as to follow him in the air. Huh? Yeah, this is wrong. Even though it's wrong. In my old masjid, in Hayy al-Safa, while we were distributing the iftar to the people, we have big meal. The mu'addin looks to us. Someone went inside the masjid and he was chasing the tunnel of Mecca. But simply he hears the interviewer reciting some hadith, which means it is close to the adhan now. So he said, this is Mecca. So he left the tunnel there. He left the tunnel from Mecca and he went in that position. At that time, Medina used to raise the Maghrib Adhan before Mecca and Jeddah. So the Mu'addin was working with us, then he left us as usual, he went to the masjid. And once he put the radio on, it was at the end of the Adhan. So once it's finished, maybe a few seconds, he went out and started calling the other. I was outside, everybody outside, so I didn't hear no one. Usually, they are almost together, all the messages. I hear no one. SubhanAllah. How come our Muslim be alone today? So I saw the people start eating. I said, no, eat. Stop. Somebody take some bait. In a long and short while, every other masjid raised the adhan. It was about 2 minutes. So I said to him, what did you do? So I don't know. The adhan is not finished. So when he put it, the interviewer was saying, and I see the people in the masjid of Rasulullah, mashallah, now eating and getting ready for salah. Such a lady in Medina. So it's a kind of problem, you know. Even the rest, you know. We cannot trust these things. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Ibn Maktoum to call the Adhan for Hajjah. When everyone has to stop eating, drinking. Although he was blind. Why? Because not only him to witness the Fajr, but he's going to climb up to the roof and sit. And people passes to the masjid and says, oh, we are already sick, we are already morning, we are already Fajr. 1, 2, 3, 4, they cannot be wrong there. So he didn't call the adhan. But today, Allah Musta'an, unfortunately, in all times, they used to do a shock. What do you call that? A midra adab. Yeah, the coming shock. Sometimes, the children play with fireworks. And they have they have something like this and give the sound like a cannon shot. And people start eating. So it's a very, I'm sorry to say it, but it is very Christmas. It is worship, it is a worship to watch the time, you know. It's a kind of worship. But today I understand, the minarets are made because of something like that. When the buildings went high, so the muazzin, even if he climbed over the top of the mountain, cannot see, so they made this long or tall minaret, so he climbs and goes to the top. I still remember Medina when I was a child. They used to climb up and from there they can see the horizon and then they call the alarm. Today they only depend on these, electronic devices. Allah mustahil. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Subhanallah. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.